You're listening to the Print Life Podcast. I'm Leslie Kinahan, owner and creative director at White Buffalo Studio and founder of the Print Life Community. This podcast was created to offer insight into the hidden world of print design. If you're a surface pattern or print designer who wants to attract dream clients, increase sales, and build a sustainable business that you love, you're in the right place. With over a decade of experience, I'll be covering all things surface pattern and print design, sales, marketing, and mindset to support designers in growing a creative business. Whether you're freelance, in-house, or just getting started, I've got you covered. Welcome to the Print Life. Hello, everyone. You're listening to another episode of the Print Life Podcast. And today I'm really excited to share with you an interview I had with Nadine Stenovich, the owner of The Scoop and Design. The Scoop is a fashion print agency that represents many of the leading studios today. Nadine has been an agent for over 20 years, and when she's not busy sharing beautiful collections with her clients for The Scoop, she's in France with her husband and dog Max, renovating a charming 200-year-old chateau. Please join me in welcoming Nadine to the Print Life Podcast. Let's dive in. Hi, Nadine. Thank you so much for joining me on the Print Life Podcast. I'm so super excited to talk with you today.
Thank you so much, Leslie. I'm actually really excited to talk to you because I think your podcast is amazing. Your whole program of what you do, I look up to you. So
thank you.
Looking forward to chatting. And if I can help you in any way, I hope that I can.
Same to you. I'm so excited to have you here. You're one of the first agents we've had on the show to talk. So I'm excited to kind of, you know, dive into a little bit of what that looks like and give some clarity to any designers or studios out there that have been wanting to work with an agent. So before we dive in, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in this industry?
Okay. I am an agent mainly on the West Coast of the United States. So everywhere from Washington to Oregon to California, Hawaii, and a little bit Midwest. That's been my focus for the last almost 20 years now, I think, that I've had The Scoop. Prior to that, I worked with Linda Weinstein and Periscope. And I work with about nine, ten studios. Three or four of them don't print at all, so they're just online. The rest of them print because there's still customers that like to see it in person. I think we thought we could get away with it with COVID and everything going online, but there's still people that just love to drape it on them and put it with the rest of their line, as you know. So I got started in this business actually by accident. I did not go to school for fashion, although I always, as a kid, loved fashion, would wear the kookiest outfits. I went to school for theater. And when I got out, I was living in New York City, and my dearest friend, who was also my college roommate, this was back when $100 was a lot of money, okay? But she was like, I'm making $100 a day showing artwork. And I'm like, what? I'm like hustling, waitressing. And I'm like, I want to show some artwork. Like, I get to dress up and show artwork. And she got me in, and it was with the Vernet Studio, Creations Robert Vernet, which I think you're familiar with. And he would come to town. This was back in like the 90s, mid-90s. He would come to New York City and reserve 6 hotel rooms. He'd have 8 suitcases of designs all on paper. This is when everything was hand painted, no files or anything. And everybody had to be first, the first ones to see it. It was so awesome during this time. And what customers did, they fought to be first, and then they would buy a whole group. They would buy the whole group. If there was 8 designs in a group, they would buy the whole thing because they didn't want anybody else to have a design like them. That's just how it was. So he would come with 8 suitcases and you'd go home with 1. And he took me under his wing, and I got to learn the business from him. Everything from, I think the one that dumbfounded me most was the no print. I'm like, what the listen, no pretty print, like white on white. So I just learned the business from him, and I had a photographic memory. So I was very good at when customers would say what they needed. I was able to go in and pull exactly or thereabouts what they needed. So that's how I originally got into the business. And then I went back into entertainment business for a while. I moved out to California and things were slowing down. And he was like, we'd always keep in touch. He's like, come help me out and with my new agent out here. And I did. And I forgot how much I enjoyed it. And I wound up doing it part time. And then there was the first writer strike and everything so bad. And I was like, you know what? And I wound up doing it full time. And I was doing Hawaii for Perry. And then the recession hit and she had to lay someone off. And it was me. And, you know, it's one thing I want to tell everyone is, you know, when we think, you know, when we get fired or laid off, there's always a reason. Like, and I always, and that's what I thought. There's a reason. The universe has something else in store. Yeah, it really sucks right now because I got all these bills and everything else. But if you just stay open, opportunity is there and the universe takes care of you. Really, really, really does. And one of the studios, his name was, I don't know if you know him, Beppe Spadaccini. He's Italian, but he did these amazing tropicals. And this is still when things were hand painted, although he had started going digital, but he did airbrushing and his tropicals were, you could smell them. Like they were so gorgeous. He actually got Tommy Bahama on the map for Tommy Bahama Tropicals, which were actually Spartini. And I was trying to get Perry to pick him up when I was working with her and I got laid off before that happened. So I just said, I'm going to reach out to him. And I was like, hey, Beppe, if you ever want anybody to go to Hawaii for you, he's like, okay, when do you want to go? I'm like, oh my God. So he was my first student. In Hawaii. And from there, it just grew. So, yeah.
Coming off of the pandemic, like people being virtual and then people being virtual and fabric, have we gone all the way just to fabric and no more online? Or are people doing a little bit of both?
No, I think there are some customers who prefer the online. They won't even see me in person anymore. They use my website or I send them PDFs. I think it became so convenient, especially if they're in a fast market. I feel definitely with some swimwear companies, they don't need to see it in person. Now, I'm talking swimwear companies that deal with the big stores like Target and Ross and Kohl's and other big stores because they have to do presentations. So they're presenting. Depending on the line, they're presenting 30 swimsuits or more that they present to them. And maybe they'll buy 10 times, however many they're ordering, or maybe they'll buy one. But they have to literally present them whole swimsuits for their presentation. So they're buying artwork. It's very fast. And some of the big companies, I won't say who, will just drop things at the last minute. Like, oh yes, our presentation meeting was April 15th, but we're going to push it up to March 20th. So then they're just like hustling, trying to make sure they have the prints. And then the other thing that happens once they do these presentations for the big stores is once they present, then they wait. They have to wait for feedback. And that could be week, 2 weeks when they finally do. And then when they give them feedback, they will say, oh, well, we're missing this, this, and this style. So then they're all like hunting for those styles again. And it's easier online because it's fast, 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 fast. And they're able to do that.
Yeah.
I feel that people, apparel manufacturers tend to, especially more contemporary, they tend to like to see the swatch so they can drape it on them, like I said, and see how it looks with the rest of their line and make their story. So,
yeah,
fast fashion seems to Yeah.
That's good to hear, because I think a lot of the smaller studios have found, myself included, that, you know, when I got started, it's like you're trying to keep up with the big studios. So you're printing the fabric and you're traveling and you're doing the shows and you have, and you're shipping back and forth. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm not a big studio. I'm not a brick and mortar. I do not employ teams. So like this idea of online just really makes sense for some of the smaller studios. And I appreciate that. So it's nice to hear that that's still going strong for some of the buyers.
It does. And you know, the only thing, and I know there's some people that really are against the designs being online because, you know, there's people that can easily steal, copy. My site is, I do work on the Pattern Cloud. And the one thing I like about them is I know who's signing up. I have to approve them, but I can also on the back end, I can see, like, if it's somebody I don't know and I'm like, okay, I'll let them go on. And if I can see how many times they're on, and from the number of times that they're on and months go by, I can just block them off. There's that.
You can monitor
it.
I only
send like the PDFs and stuff to customers that like I trust and I know. Like, I'm sure you have a lot of those. But competing with the bigger studios, you just can't. And you know what? I think the best advice I can give for the smaller studios is don't try to be like them. Don't try to be exactly what the runways are doing. So important. Like, you have a personality. Put your personality on your designs. Just a flair. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever that trend is, throw your little personality on top of it. I'm not saying change the trend, but just give it an extra, like, ooh, what's that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's important to zig when they zag, kind of thing. And that way you stand out, because we're already having a hard time trying to compete. So instead of competing, just be different. Yeah. I love that. That's good advice. I have a question for you that I get asked all the time. And I know how I answer it, because I used to have to take my own appointments. When I first started out, I took all my own appointments. And, you know, it's nerve-wracking being in there for the first time. And your hands are sweaty and you're flipping and all the fabric's sticking together. And you're just like,
especially you're sewing your own artwork. So there's that.
Yes. And sometimes they don't know. And they'll be commenting about it. And you're like, oh, man, I hope they and if they don't like something, you have to just kind of roll it off because they don't know you created it. But I get asked all the time, especially now that I represent designers on our team and their work's in the line. And I get asked all the time, what are the clients saying? What's the feedback on my work? What do they have to say about my designs? And I try and explain, and I would love to hear your take on this. When you're in the room with buyers, I feel like you're not always getting a clear communication about what they like, what they didn't like, and what their every thought is. But sometimes we get a little information. What do you find is the most valuable bit of information that you get by being in the room with your clients and flipping through that collection with them?
I try to ask my clients, because I want to give feedback to my studios if I can. Sometimes it's hard because they don't say anything. But it's funny because I feel like for the last, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 months, the designs have become so packed. Like, I feel like all my studios, everything's so packed. There's so much in the print. There's so much in there. And that's one thing I feel right now. Customers are saying, we want more space. They want flowers that have space. You don't have to fill in the whole thing. You know, obviously not just this, but just a nice flow.
Breathing room.
I mean, you probably see there's so much packed in designs that they're like, they can't breathe. And one thing to know about the LA market is, especially fast fashion, they can't print a lot of colors. You know, some can only do 6 to 8. Max is 15. They say 15, but really 12 is their number. So there's not a lot of people who can afford the heat transfer.
The digital.
Although it's becoming more affordable now, like customers are. So that's another thing to keep in mind is the number of colors. I think the other thing with California is colors, because California is sunny pretty much all year round. Even though last month was very rainy and dreary, it's sunny. And so that's one thing I learned coming from the East Coast. We don't have a true fall like New York. New York is true fall. It's like the dark colors, rich, you know, yummy reds. And California, it's almost like transitional colors. Transitional, it could be transitional spring or transitional fall. That's really fascinating to be learning that whole aspect of it. Unless it's like a super contemporary market that deals a lot with New York.
Yeah.
So there's something to keep in mind. The other part of that is in California, everybody wants to be young. Everybody wants to be 20, even the old ladies. So the contemporary market, they wear color. They want to be young. So that's something else to keep in mind.
Are you currently selling those studios that you represent? Do you show them on both coasts? Are you only showing their collections here in LA? Or are you also showing them in New York?
I mainly show here because they have New York agents, unless they don't have an agent. Like there's one studio, she's asked me to go for her and I will go for her. I've shown her collection in New York. I used to show in New York for a studio. This is how I realized the difference in the markets from New York to LA. I represented a studio many years ago, Gavin O'Mars. I still work with them, Gavin O'Mars. They had a woman's line. And they would send it to me, and then they were like, can you take it to New York? So they sent me the box. And you get the box, and it's like Christmas. You don't know what's in there. And I open it, and I was just like, And I emailed them and said, I'm not so sure about this collection for LA. And it didn't do well in LA. And I'm like, God, now I got to go to New York? Like, shoot, you know, I spent the money on flight, and I got to show it in New York. I go to New York and they were like, oh my God, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. And I was just like, what? But it helped me to see the difference in the markets.
Yeah.
And also explain to them, okay, so this is good for New York and why, and this is good for LA and why. And so,
okay.
They are.
I love that. We used to show, so we'd show our collection here and then we'd ship it to New York and then he'd show it there and then he'd ship it to Australia. She'd show it and then she'd ship it back to me. And it was always interesting to see how differently the collection would do if it did crickets here. I was like, oh, should I ship it still?
Yeah.
And then he would get it and it would be like 20 sales we got. And I'm like, it's so fascinating. So something I'm curious about your thoughts on, especially for smaller studios or even freelance designers, trying to compete, like we said, you can't compete with the larger studios. Mm-hmm. It's not possible without, you know, either spending too much money or driving yourself crazy. So what I've found to be helpful is to kind of stay in one season. Do you find that you have clients who will consistently buy if a collection always feels spring, summer? Or do you have clients that are asking for autumn, winter, asking for spring, summer? Or is it more getting to be more trans-seasonal, you think?
Spring, summer is the biggest season in LA. Our fall season is so small. I find in LA, people don't do as many prints. And so there's that. So I would say don't focus too much on fall.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, if it's transitional, then it can pass for spring as well.
Yeah.
There's some interesting color palettes right now that are trending and they can work for both. So I tell my studios, I always need, like there's a certain time of year from like August through December. I say, if you want me to sell designs, I'm going to need summer, fall, and holiday. Because swimwear always is looking. Always. And swimwear is a big part of California. And they like the bright colors. There are designers that can see past that, but they like to see color.
Yeah.
Fun. So with my studios, I need summer year round to make sure when they're looking, I have it for them. Because I try, if I have a collection that's not right, I will cancel appointments, because that's a relationship. As you know, it's relationships you have. And when they get sour on a studio, it only takes once, twice. They're like, nah, especially now there's so many studios, right? So they can be picky. And by the third time, and unless a collection that comes in on like, there's certain customers, I can't use this all the time, but I will say, Colleen, will you just, I know you're turned off from the studio, but will you just look at it this one time? Because it looks really good. But I can't use it all the time. And I can't lie to them. Or they'll never see me with anything.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I think I remember going through that, where you have these buyers that always want to see you and always buy. And then all of a sudden, you don't see them anymore. And you're like, what happened there?
Yeah.
Something went wrong. Either it was a bad collection, or something they bought from you perhaps didn't stick, didn't land. Or the fact that what you said is a really important thing that we should probably touch on a little, is that there's so many studios that if you don't stand out, if the quality level isn't there, if it's not a wow or a pop, it might get passed over for a different studio, right?
It will. We went through before COVID. There were so many studios coming to LA, and especially the big studios coming all the time. And I don't even know how they create so much. So it was getting like, geez. Then COVID happened. And for a while, it was, what was nice when we were coming out of COVID is it was really just me, Perry, and Jamie. Oh, and Angela here. So the studios, because we couldn't fly in yet.
Yeah.
And which was kind of nice. You know, there were only the people that were here. You were here. So we didn't have everybody from London and Italy coming. But now they're flying again. And so the other thing that happened is budgets were cut because of the economy. And right now, especially the economy, it's tough out there. And so budgets are cut. So the first thing that gets cut is artwork. I mean, not as much. Travel gets cut. So they're not going to Paris for the shows. Especially when the show is in February and spring isn't out till April, they'd rather, if they get a trip, they want to go in April when everything's out, right? All the stores.
Yeah.
So they also, because there's so many studios, designers aren't just sitting around waiting for studios to come in all day. They actually have lines to design and put together. So they have to be like, okay, who are the studios we want to see? And that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And unless I get something and I can send them a PDF, like, sure, maybe you might want to take a look at this one, you know? And they'll be open to it. They'll be like, okay, we'll have a try again, you know? So it's important to know your customers, know the LA customers. You can see them on Instagram and the kind of stuff they do. If you have an agent and they send you this information, really look to see what they do. So you're sending a collection that is right for their market. When a studio approaches me to ask to rep them, I like to look at their collection first, because I may also not be right for them, for the kind of customer that they need. So it's not that the studio's horrible, but I'm like, I would want them to get someone who's best for them.
I love hearing you talk about the markets. I want to circle back to that a little bit, because probably one of the main things that I tell designers who are like, how do I get more interest in my work? How do I get more clients? How do I get an agent? How do I get more sales? I think a lot of the time it's exactly what you just said, which is what we talk about a lot on this podcast too. It's understanding the market, the end use. Who are you creating it for?
Yeah.
Do they want it? Will it land for them? Does it make sense for what they're creating? And almost envisioning yourself working there. Like, if you were co-working with them, what would you be creating for them? And I think that's the best way to get your artwork kind of noticed by the clients you want to work with, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And again, having a fresh hand. There's one studio. She was small when I started with her. She's still small, but bigger small. And what customers loved is it felt so fresh. The hand, her hand was in her colors. It was, and customers were like, we want to see, we don't want to see that one anymore, a big studio. That we want to see this studio. I don't want to say names or anything, but and it was because she had a very fresh hand in her colors, and she still is. And just her take on the trends. And that's a perfect example of taking your own take on things and making them yours and stand out.
Yeah, it's important to not just replicate more of what's out there.
Yeah. I mean, another thing, there's a couple of studios that do this. They'll do two colorways in a design, which I'm not sure if I suggest that. What do you think about that? I mean, because I'm sure it's very easy to do a second colorway.
Yeah.
One of the studios that does it, she actually puts another piece of swatch on it. So it makes it very heavy to show, but it's cool. So the other one does the second colorway online.
Yeah.
So it's online. And if they buy the design, the physical design, then we give them both of them. But so it's another option to think about if it's something easy for you to do. If you have a site, it helps, like one in like fall colors. Yeah. And one.
I think it works better digitally.
Yeah.
I think it works better as an online option. I think when you're showing in person, you don't want to confuse like, which season is this for? But when they're looking online, it's almost like, oh, I can have this. I can have it both ways and then decide later.
Yeah.
But when it's in person and you have it on that fabric, I think you want that pow of like whatever it is and no distraction.
Yeah.
But that's just my experience with that.
Yeah. And another thing I've noticed is studios are becoming androgynous with the seasons. Have you seen?
Mm-hmm.
So, at first, I was frustrated because I was like, why are they mixing all the fall and the spring? But then I'm like, okay, they want to, because that's the other thing about LA. You know, you have the contemporary markets on summer, and then you have the junior market who's just starting fall, like this fall, because like, it's fast fashion. So it needs to be like everybody is all over the place. And then you have high summer swimwear.
Yeah, definitely seeing a lot of the transseasonal kind of giving the longevity to the artwork, letting clients know like it lasts a long time. They can use it as a transitional piece or in spring, summer or in fall, winter. I think it's just more sustainable, which yeah. I think works better for designers because then we're not having to reprint it in a different colorway or redo it.
Right.
So I get that. I kind of like that, but I know that some clients want We want to see spring, summer. We want to see fall, winter. We want to see. And so you have to kind of almost have that differentiation
for them. It's like there's those clients who, as soon as they see a dark print, they're like, I'm looking for summer. This isn't right for me. And it's like, hold on. Let me just whip that one off. You know, they just see one and it's like, oh, this is fall. It's not for me. I'm like,
yeah, exactly. Whereas if it's somewhere in between, maybe they wouldn't, I don't know.
No.
It depends on the client.
It really does.
I have a question for you about seasons. So you're probably the best person to ask because the rest of us are confused.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes clients are looking for spring, summer. Sometimes they're looking for autumn, winter. It seems like depending on the client, everyone's looking for a different season. Do you have a particular like structure that you know, oh, during these months, this is what I want to show. During these months, this is what I want to show. Or does it depend on the client?
It used to be so easy. Everybody was on the same season. Now, okay, so the junior market, which is the fast market, you know, all those... Yeah, when I say junior, we're talking like 20, 30-year-olds, that fast fashion, even like 18-year-olds. They're, like I said, just starting fall now. So what are we in March, right? Where the contemporary market started fall back in September, August, some maybe even a little earlier. So that's why I said from August to like, now, end of March, it needs to be a mixed collection because you have the contemporary market that started fall in August, but the junior markets on spring and swimmers on summer, and that goes through. Then the contemporary market by October is on holiday, finishing up holiday. The junior markets into summer, and swim is still swim. And then you come to March, you come to February, and the contemporary market's ready for spring resort, and the junior market's on fall. So, but it's like I said, the fall market is short for the junior market. Yeah. So they'll probably be looking at spring again, maybe May. Yeah.
I think May.
Yeah.
What's your swimwear schedule these days? Is it still November to May?
No,
or is it different now?
All year round now, because
all year round. I'd love to hear this.
Yes, because back in the day, swimwear only looked from like September to March, or maybe October to March. And that's the only time they looked and did their lines. But now, because of the Targets and the Walmarts and the Kohl's and the Mervs or whatever it is, all these bigger companies that are having their own swim lines, they have to develop year round. So before, they used to always have their summers relaxing. Now they don't. To fit in a vacation is very difficult for them because, you know, and then all these stores, their markets are all a little different. So it's constant, which is very exciting for us to know that. It's just that when they're in like the Target presentations or the other bigger presentations, they're just developing what they bought into swimsuits because they have to present. So like right now, swim hasn't been looking for a month because of that. So there is like, we don't know now when that's kind of changed, but we don't know when they're in lockdown. I guess they locked them for the presentation part.
Okay.
They're relying so much on feedback from their presentations to then move forward again.
I love that though. Swim's always been my favorite. So I like to hear that.
Yeah.
As far as the number of prints, I mean, it's been so long since I've printed a collection of fabric and handed it off to anybody, you know?
Yeah.
I never came back to it after the pandemic, just because I'm a part-time, I have a son, I work from home, and I'm like, you know what? The online works for me.
Yeah.
But thinking about like easing back into it, perhaps just for shows, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Speaking to anybody who's considering doing it or maybe wants to go that route again now, how many prints are you expecting from a studio and how often in order to properly show them?
Right. So right now, because of the market, I prefer not to have a studio. It used to be every month, but I prefer every 2 to 3 months just because it does need to be new and fresh, at least 90% new. There's one small studio that is only planning to do 3, maybe 4 collections a year to show. If you want your studio shown by itself with no other studio, you need to have like 250, 300 designs. If it's only 100, 150, it's not enough for to make an appointment. I've done it before and customers are like, that's it. Unless it's like every single one is knockout, like gotta have it. What I do with some of the smaller studios and they're okay with it, I'll take 2 boutique collections that I know don't compete, but they're different and they're fun to show together because they're just different. I will show them together so that it's then worth the customer's time who's taking their time out of the day to see.
So something I wanted to touch on is, you know, I often hear from designers in our community, in our Facebook community or in the membership is, you know, I don't necessarily want to work with a studio because they take, you know, this big chunk. They take 40% or 50% or whatever the studio, every studio is different.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to work with an agent because they're going to take, you know, a percentage or a fee and I don't want to do that. And I think that it's really important to kind of explain the importance of passing your collections or your artwork through as many potential sales channels as possible as a designer and having more opportunity for a sale rather than just putting it all on yourself to get out there and pitch yourself. I mean, it's exhausting at some point to like try and build those relationships. And I think it's important to understand that when you pay a studio or pay an agent, you're really paying for their 20, 15, 10, 30 years in the industry and all the relationships that they built up until this point. Can you speak to that a little bit for me?
Sure. I get it. I get that you don't want to take that chunk of change out. However, like Leslie said, we have built these relationships and every agent is different. Even here in LA, like Stefano has certain customers that he has relationships with. Angela has certain customers. Actually, me and Angela share a lot more of the same customers. And then others that neither one of them see. But like I said, it's relationships that where if that example I gave before about if they see a studio and it's off and they're like, yeah, we don't need to see this again. And then I can use my card to say, I really think you should look at the studio because it looks amazing now. So there's that part of the relationship that's really helpful as opposed to when you're showing your own artwork. I can only imagine it's your baby. And when you hear people talking crap about it, you know, giving weird feedback and you're like, oh my God, that was my design. It's hard. So it's nice to have someone do that and take those little things. And the agent isn't going to tell you, oh yeah, they thought it was ugly. No, they'll say, this is what you could have done better, you know, so that you still feel like excited and empowered. And it also is, we have a lot of contacts. I mean, and even if you just go with an agent for a short period of time, just so that you can get your artwork out there and people will remember the name, and then they'll go to your website, you know? So I know that all the studios work differently and they take different pieces. Some pay you salary, some don't. I don't even know. For me, I am all about the artist. So there's a whole other thing about pricing out there. And there's there's some studios that sell, the big studios. I don't know how they do it, but they're selling their designs really cheap. And it makes it very difficult. And I won't go below a certain point because I'm not thinking about my pocket. I'm thinking about the artist who spent all this time creating it. It's not fair. And I recently got into a conversation with a company and where they were paying $550, then all of a sudden they only want to pay $500 because all the other studios are what other studios? And I had the conversation with them. I won't say the person's name, I'll just call her Debbie. I was like, Debbie, you just got hired here. What if your boss came to you this week and said, Deb, I'm going to pay you $100 less this week because I just feel that's what I should do. Mm. I said, these are people's worth. Mm. You know, you're getting, back in the day, it was just a piece of paper with hand-painted artwork. Now you're getting a file, you get the swatch, you get it in repeat, you get it layered. And it's like you're devaluing what people are and are offering.
Yeah.
And it was interesting trying to get her to understand that. But then at the same time, I have other customers who will be like, Nadine, just charge me. Don't give me a special. I know I'm buying 8, but don't give me a special. She's like, it's not my money. Okay. So, which I wish we were more customers like that. Just charge me $700. I'm like, $700? But so there's, that goes back to the relationships that the agents have with certain customers. And, you know, there are certain customers that I know will only see me. I know there are customers that will only see Perry. I know there are customers that will only see Angela. So they want to see others. Or so I say, try it. If you feel comfortable with an agent, if you're feeling them, try it. Especially, like I would say, well, yeah. California and New York, Because New York is hard to get in front of. And there are some great agents there that have been in the business forever. Like, I love Cherry Design Partners. There's Esty. She might be a little too big, but they've got it. They probably have everybody's phone number in that town.
And it's worth it to have that exposure. You know, it's worth it to take, to give the cut, but to have that exposure, to build brand, to get yeah. the feedback, to see how your collection's doing in a certain area. It gives you so much information.
It really does. And like we talked about, you know, your collection may rock New York and not LA, or it may rock LA and not New York. So, and then you know, okay, I am going to focus on New York because that's where I rock, you know? And it helps. It helps you. It helps your brand.
Mm-hmm, for sure. You talked about pricing a little bit, and I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going to now. I just had a post on Instagram just go like bonkers last week that I posted just talking about a client that asked me to do this very low rate. And I was like, no. I've heard it from so many people lately in our community. And I had to post it, and I'm just like, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, or in trouble by who. I don't know who we think we're going to get in trouble from.
Right.
But even my range, like hearing you say somebody said five, I'm like, I have clients who buy from me for five, but they've been with me forever. Right. And I'm like, is that too low? And maybe it is. Maybe we need to bump back up to six. Because before the pandemic, we were at $650 sometimes. And then after the during the pandemic, we brought it down because it was online. We were at $550. And then we have those clients that are like, we only do five now. Even like big companies, they're like, this is our rate. Are you on? Yeah. Are you with us or you're not with us? And I'm like, five. Okay. And I feel like we're going the wrong direction. Right.
Yes.
So I'm curious, like, what is your range that you're seeing in LA?
Okay. So I saw your post, by the way, and I commented on it because I agree. Like, we all have a worth. And this is the thing with California, too. We are so close to the border, and everybody wants a deal, and it drives me crazy. So prices, they have, just like you said, during COVID, you know, we went down to help people, whatever. It was online. And then everybody was coming back. Then all the prices are going up. Gas is going up. Milk's going up. Everything's going up. Printing's going up. And this business is so funny because even their fabrics, like fabric converters, their prices are going up, but they expect our prices to go down. And we try to reason with these people, like, where does this make sense? Where does this make sense that our prices should go down? Now, there is a gamut of pricing that of people that I work with. There's people that I have worked with, like you said, forever. There is a customer who's a fabric converter, which they're getting less and less and less. They see me every single time I have a studio. And I would say 99.5% they buy for me each time. So there might have been once if they didn't. They'll always buy one or three. So if you think about that, and if I'm showing them every week or every other week, and you add that up for the year, that's a lot of designs.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working with them so long, so they have a certain price that they've had. And there are customers that are five. That customer that I just mentioned about five, it's just like when you're going from $550 to five, and the thing was they wouldn't buy a lot before. They were buying six designs in a year. So it's, you're like, but they were changing. They're like, look, you can be buying a lot more now. We hear that too. And then they don't. It's a gamut. Most people are anywhere from $550 to $650. It could be a few a little higher, but I would say the $550 range is right now probably the biggest, like, where it's at. Now, we have problems with big studios coming and selling designs for $450, $400. I can't compete there, and I won't. And I wish the other studios, these big studios, they don't understand what they're doing, but they're devaluing everything. And so they sell. Yep. So they sell the design for $400. I just think, what about the artists? And these are big studios. And now you just sold one for $400. Yeah. Like, just to sell? I don't get it. I went in and followed somebody once, and the guy was like, we're paying $450 with this studio. And I was like, who? And he told me, and he's like, yeah. And I said, how many did you buy? He said, one. And I said, oh. And he said, yeah. He said, next time if I buy two, he'll give me more of a discount. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, okay. And I said, don't. We all need to hold strong. Like, we can't go below a certain point. Because once you do, this is the other thing that happens. Joy, who works and is getting this special deal of $450, all of a sudden she goes to a company where you used to charge $550. And you know what? She's going to tell them, oh, I only paid $450. And guess what?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. You have to think about that, because people are around so much. And if these big studios want to do it, there's plenty out there that won't pay it. And I've told them, I'm like, look, I can't. And I'll just pack it up. I'll pack it up. And they'll be like, why? I was like, I can't do that. Most of the studios are from London, or I'll say, we're not the whole exchange rate, but you're just getting too much. I was like, okay, I'll sell you the design, but if you want the file, it's another $50.
And if you want it in repeat, it's another
$50. Yeah. Because they're asking so much nowadays in the design. They want the repeat, they want it layered, they want, some even ask for a second colorway. And there's a point where we all have to empower each other and just say, no, we don't go below this price.
No. And, that's where it's going to get tricky for the designers who maybe don't want to work with the studio or agent when they start to see how small that number gets. Which is why we do a lot of flat rates with our people, because it's just easier. And that way, no matter the fluctuation, everybody's getting the same thing. I like to take care of the designers that way. But I'm curious, is the commission for an agent still 30, or is it any different than it used to be?
I'm still 30. There are other agents, like Perry's 35%. I think Estee in New York maybe as well. I think Angela just takes 30. I don't know what Jamie takes. I think she might be 35. I'm not sure. I'm like, 30 is enough. I care more about the artists. I want them to be excited and continue creating things. Some days when you're driving around in LA traffic, I'm like,
out of control.
You mentioned the print shows.
Go ahead.
And I would say for any new studio, because it can be expensive, I'd say if you do want to invest and do a show, I would suggest to either do the New York show in January, because that seems to really have picked up and is really amazing again, or there's the pre-shows for in Paris. There's PV, which is very expensive, but now more people go to the pre-shows than they go to PV, and it's less expensive. There are two shows. There's Create, and there is Paris Prince.
Paris Prince?
Yes. I think I can get that for you, if not correct. And the contacts to show in them. One of them, you can't get in. The other one, you can. They're much more open. And they have these really cool spaces in Paris. So really, the only expense is getting there in a hotel. You do have the show and food, of course. But, you're eating cheese and bread, and it's cheap in France, and the wine. But I would say I would say one of those shows, because you are going to get a Paris show. If you do the pre-show, you're going to make connections worldwide, like in different areas. That can be great. And you can cater to those customers over the internet. The New York show, just because it's New York. And I know that the last show was really, really busy. LA doesn't have a great show. I wish it did.
Yeah.
Actually, Perry and I started to do a little show in San Francisco.
Oh.
And it was quite lovely. I mean, San Francisco has changed a lot. I'm sure you remember back in the day, we could go up there for 3 days and have back-to-back appointments. And now you go up there for a day. We've lost a lot of businesses. And it's sad, but there's little businesses popping up. So I'm just hoping that everybody keeps.
Yeah. Trade shows used to be so fun. And I don't know about Paris Prints. I have a couple friends who have shown at Paris Prints and said it was good for building contacts. And they made some sales, but it was fun. And you get to network and see everybody. Yeah. And that's awesome. So I thought about that one. But what's a bummer is you used to be able to get the list, which for me is like a small company. I'm like, that's why I did the show, you know, to get the list. And they don't do that anymore. So I don't know if Paris does, but PV doesn't.
What about the New York show? The New York show does, don't they?
Mm-mm.
They don't?
No, they stopped. And that's why I was hesitant to do it again, because that was a major draw. If you're going to spend the $4,500, $5,000 and then to fly and have a hotel and, you want the list.
You want the list.
So I'm hoping maybe they'll break that back. Because that was a huge draw, especially for a small business.
That is very disappointing. One thing I was going to say with the Paris show, if anybody does try to do it, what you do is when you're asking them for information on it, and you could say, I'm really nervous about doing this. Is there any way you could put my table near... and name a few of the bigger studios that are doing the show, because there's no walls. This is something that I used to do. And I knew, I used to do this with Perry. she didn't know it at the time. But when there used to be a show in Vegas, I'd be like, can you put me next to Periscope? Because I knew everybody knew Perry. And I knew if there was a line and I'm right next to her, they're going to look at my stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That's smart. And at the place, I was so mad that I can't believe Nadine is right next to me. And I was just like, hi, Perry. I mean, we're great friends. So she would probably get a kick out of it.
That's hilarious. If I would have had the idea, I would have gone right next to Print Fresh at all the PV shows. That's funny. So I have a couple more questions for you, and then I will wrap it up here. But I feel like nowadays, especially with maybe more places popping up where we can get our prints printed a little bit more affordably than we used to. It used to be a little more difficult to get your stuff printed and cut. And now there are services who actually they'll cut it for you, and they'll steam it for you and fold it and send it to you. And it makes it a little easier to get it all done on your own if you're doing it on your own. But as far as designers, perhaps not a small studio, but designers who want to be represented, is that something that you see done at this time in the market? Or do you still see boutique studios, not necessarily individual designers, being repped by an agent?
Oh, yeah. If their designs are right for whatever market I'm showing, if I see something, I'm like, oh my God, let me hip pocket it and I'll show. As long as they're cool, even with some of the bigger collections, if it's a small little thing and I think these are beautiful, I'll hip pocket and show. One of the things that just reminded me is one of the things in LA you can always, 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 always have in your collection are beautiful florals. They're just they've been on the down low and they should always be in your collection. Not super packed. Just beautiful flowers, because there's customers here like lingerie companies, dress companies, like gown dress that put them on for those teenagers. And even apparel, beautiful florals.
So since you're in the LA market and you're talking about florals, I know you had mentioned about a limited number of screens. Do you find that more simple, like you know, for 2 to 6 color florals or watercolor florals? Like, what kind of florals do you see being sold more often in LA?
Well, right now, the whole monotone thing is really strong. So, but it's color on color. It's not like black on white only. It's, you know, a mauve on a deeper mauve, or, you know, or a paler mauve. So that's been really trending lately. Florals, I can sell anything to watercolor, or just really gorgeous, yummy. And especially if they feel fresh and new, I can sell them. Ditzy's not so much.
Okay.
But florals, yeah. Yeah. And all kinds. Like, don't limit yourself to just a rose, you know. Walk some beautiful gardens. Take some downtime and go to some beautiful gardens just to inspire you on other flowers, or go to Hawaii and look at beautiful tropicals, because there is more than just the hibiscus.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you've given so much really beautiful advice to new designers or current designers or small studios. But if you had to give your, I always ask everyone who comes on to chat with me,
yeah,
if you had to give somebody who's just starting out in fashion print design specifically a little bit of advice before they head down this path, what would your best advice be?
I would say, if you're just starting out, you obviously know who you are and you know the type of designs you create. So rather than change you, find those customers that would appreciate and do your beautiful thing and go after them. Don't try to, I wouldn't change yourself, because you obviously have something, and you just have to find your customer for you. And they're out there, there's a lot. And that's another thing. I've been doing this whole marketing thing, and I know that you're creating the artwork and it takes so much time. But if you don't have someone else to help you, I call it prospecting, like the gold miners. We have to also spend a couple hours a day just prospecting. And you can do that very well on LinkedIn. You can do it on Instagram by looking for the customers and then finding them on LinkedIn. Customers that would be good for your je ne sais quoi, go to LinkedIn, find them, and reach out to them. If you are all by yourself, like, make that a thing on your list for 1 to 2 hours a day to prospect.
Yeah.
Just prospect. I love that word. I'm going prospect.
That's really good advice. Both of those pieces of advice are really good. Sticking true to who you are and then finding your people, but actually putting the effort into finding your people and getting your work in front of their eyes.
Yeah.
Are you looking for new studios and designers to represent at this time, or not necessarily?
I am always open to seeing new collections to see if we're a match. If I think they're a match for someone else, then I will tell them, like, I'll pass on someone else's info. But I'm
and what's the best way for someone to reach out to you on social, on Instagram? Email.
Reach out to me. They can reach out to me on Instagram. I always forget to look on that other side, the messages. But my email would be best. And it's just spelled out Nadine@thescoop@gmail.com.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Nadine, for coming on and chatting with us. I know everybody's really going to enjoy this episode and all this information that you've shared. Why don't you tell everybody where we can find you and follow you and learn more about you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, The Scoop and Design, and my website, thescoopanddesign.com. You can email me. It's on the Instagram and everything. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Forgive me if I don't answer right away, because if I'm out on the road in LA traffic, you know, I can't drive and text at the same time. I prefer not to. Too many crazy drivers. And I will try to answer you. I'll try to help give you advice if I can. I think we all have to help each other at this point, because the market is just weird. The economy's weird. And just keep creating. Persevere. We have to persevere and be beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Nadine. That's beautiful. Thank you for coming on and talking with me. It was lovely to have you.
Oh my God, it was so nice. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Print Life Podcast. If you're a surface pattern designer who's interested in learning how to design, market, and sell your prints in the fashion industry, I'd love to work with you. Head over to lesliekenahan.com to learn more about how you can get started today. See you next time.